We're 51B3. Nun Aleph Amid Beis. Let's see where we're going to start from. Amr of Yehuda. Hani Nosh. Here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the page. Nun Zayin Amid, Nun Aleph Amid Beis. 51B3, bottom of the first column. Or in the Gemara, Nun Aleph Amid Beis, 7 lines in the end of the page. Is that what he said, 7? No. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines. Tan?
Yes.
Okay. Gemara says, Amid Avihuda, Avihuda said like this. Before the Gemara was talking about women that were captured, you know, the whole thing, it was beginning, and Dainus, Sarats, and whatever. Now Avihuda says like this.
Amid Avihuda,
Avihuda said, Hainu Nashi de Ganva Ganva. Married women that were kidnapped by bandits. Shadin Lugavraya could still stay married to their husbands. Because we assumed anything that happened was against their will. Amalei Rabban Rav Yehuda, Rabban said to Rav Yehuda, how can you say such a statement? We see the women, the ones that are kidnapped, bring their bosses, they bring them bread to eat. So how can you say they'd be forced? And if they would be forced, they wouldn't give him bread. So the Gemara says, no, machmas sira. Rav Yehuda answered, they do it out of fear. They don't do it because they're interested in them. They do it out of fear. They have no choice. So the Gemara says, v'kam mishalchun lagiri, but they hand the arrows to these people to shoot the arrows. So how can you say they're doing it forced against their will? Obviously, they're friendly with them because they're helping them out. So again, the Gemara says, machmas yira. They're doing it out of fear. If they're doing it out of fear, then there's no, then they're mutal abayla. So the Gemara says like this, vadai, what happens though, this is for sure, shafkinu va'azim in afshayil, okay, and what happens if the bandits let the women go home? They say, okay, go home to your husbands. And they know, they go back to the bandits. Then it's willingly, obviously, so that for sure, they're also to the husbands. Look at this very simple Gemara. The Gemara just basically says, by bandits, we can assume they were raped, and therefore, they're mutar labayla. Otherwise, it was willingly, and they're not. So now the Gemara says like this. Ton Rabbanon, Rabbanon learned. Shvuyi Malchus, captives by the king. When the king, like Achashverosh, right, took the women. So the Kishvuyin, they have a din, like ordinary captives, and they remain mutter to the husband. Gnuvi listis, kidnapped by bandits, ain't a kashvuyas. Are not like captives, and they're taka osil labayla. Meaning like this. If the king took them, we assume it was against their will. Why? Because the girls know the king's not marrying them anyway. They have no reason to want to do it with the king. Like this, they want to do it to eventually marry the king. But the king's not going to marry them anyway. They're peasants. They're regular women. He's not going to marry them. Therefore, we assume they were forced. If they were forced, they're mutter to the husbands. But kidnappers, who are eventually, maybe down deep thinking, maybe I'll marry these guys. So then they're doing willingly, so then they're usher to the husband. This is what the Gemara says. So the Gemara said, well, we just learned the Tanya Ipcha. We just learned the Braisa that says the opposite. If they're captured by a king, they're forbidden to the husbands. If they're captured by bandits, they're mutter to the husband. Mamish, the opposite of this braisa that says that the kings is mutter and the robbers are also. So Gemara says it like this. Malchus on Malchus Likashi. What was the question? One braisa says, if the king captures them, they're okay for the husband. Another braisa says, if the king captures them, they're not okay for the husband. That's speaking by Malchus Achashverosh, or by Malchus Ben Netzer. If it's a king like Achashverosh, superpower, there's no way he's going to marry the girl. Therefore, there's no reason why she should want to do it willingly with him, to impress him. But Ben Netzer was like this. It says, a bandit conquered several cities and ruled over them and his fellow bandits like a king. He wasn't the powerful king of a country. He was a powerful guy. He captured a bunch of cities and ruled over them like a king. So there, the women tried to impress him. Because he was very wealthy. The women tried to impress him. So over there, when it says Malchus, is forbidden for the husband, that's where you assume there was Ben Netzar, that they did it willingly. But a guy like Achashverosh, then they didn't do it willingly. listus halistus likasha. The same thing. One braisa says bandits, the woman is mutter to the husband, and one braisa says bandits not, is also likasha. Harbor ben netzar, if it's a powerful bandit like ben netzar, so then we assume they did it willingly. Harbor listum dama, the other one is dama, a robber. Women are not interested in marrying robbers. Ben Netzer was a sophisticated robber. He was a king. He wanted to be with him. So the Gemara said, I don't understand. One minute you say Ben Netzer is a king. And here he's saying he's a robber. So Gemara says, Ben Netzer, Hasu Karli Melech. The first price you call Malchus a king. And the second price you call robbers. Which one is he? So Gemara says, no, it's relative. Legabi Achashverish. Compared to Achashverosh, he's like a robber. Compared to a robber, he's a king. So it's not, it depends how the guy is. The guy is a king compared to lower people. Compared to higher people, he's a robber. But they have that all over the place, you know.
This is a Gemara for
you. No, but,
circumstances make a difference.
Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. It said in the Mishnah, Kehanis, remember, it said in the Mishnah like this, in the Ksuba, the text of the Ksuba, it says like this, if you didn't write, if you get captured, I redeem you, and I bring you back for a wife, then he has to pay it. Another Braisa says that by a Kohen, because even if she was, God forbid, raped, she's still ushered to the husband, right? So over there, he can't write in the Ksuba, I'm gonna remarry you, because he's not allowed to remarry her. So he says, I'll bring you back to your city. Okay, that was the difference between a regular Jew, where he writes, I'm gonna redeem you from captivity and remarry you, not remarry you, stay married to you. And by a kindness, he can't say that. So he says, I'll redeem you and I'll bring you back to your city, because he can't stay married to her. So Gemara says like this, Amar Abaye, Amon le Kohen Gadol, if a widow was married to a Kohen Gadol. Now, a Kohen Gadol is very interesting. Kohen Gadol is supposed to be a holy guy. You know, he's supposed to be. If a Kohen Gadol married a widow, okay?
But can he do that? Can he do that?
No, he's not allowed to. But, she's still a married woman. The same thing occurring with a divorcee, let's say, right? The din is, if there's no capital punishment, it's only a lav, so then the din is, the kedushin is valid. For instance, if a Kohen Gadol marries an almona, a widow, who he's not allowed to, she still would need a get. If a Kohen marries a divorcee, even though he's not allowed to, she still needs a get. Because it's not capital punishment. It's only a negative commandment in the Torah. Right? If somebody marries a mamzer, which you're not allowed to marry a mamzer, because it's only a negative commandment, it's not punishable by death, so the kedushin is valid. So she would need a get. A guy marries a married woman, or an aunt, or I mean people that he wouldn't be allowed to marry, then it's not a kedushin at all. Okay? So now what happens like this. Abaye says, Amon el Kohen Gadol. So this like this. A Kohen Gadol married a woman he wasn't allowed to. Okay? Then she was taken in captivity. Chayav Levdeisa, he still has to redeem her. Even though he cannot stay married to her when he redeems her, because he wasn't allowed to marry to begin with. She's an almana. He's still obligated to redeem her. Why? Shani Kreda, but because even like the clause of the Mishnah says, by a Kohanis, Hadrinoch Lemedinoseich, was not any different than a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen's wife is captured. What was the obligation the Mishnah said in the Ksuba? He has to redeem her, but he can't stay married to her, so she goes back to her city, whatever. Yeah? Why, Amon el Kohen Gadol is the same thing. This is what Abaye holds. We're gonna see a difference. But Abaye holds that even though he was not allowed to marry her, he still has to redeem her. Okay? Now, what happens, Mamzeres v'nesina li Yisrael, What happens though, if the captured woman was a mamzadis, and the sinner means we don't defend the givainim, whatever, that they were not allowed to marry, ain't a chayiv levdesa. He doesn't have to redeem her. Okay?
A mamzadis is not supposed to be married till Jews, right?
Right, but if he did. Why? She ain't any kediba, because I don't apply the quotation of the Mishnah, she avesvina bochli into, I'm going to take you back as my wife. Meaning like this. By a kohen, whether it's kohen gadol or regular kohen, we find in the Mishnah says he needs to redeem her. Yeah? Even though he can't stay married to her. And she goes back to her city. Not as his wife, because he has to divorce her. So the same thing Abayi says, Amon el kohen gadol, is the same like a regular kohen. What happens though, a wedding that the Torah says you can't marry to begin with? So by a normal ksuba, by the normal of a non-kohen, what does it say? I'll redeem you and remarry you. But he can't remarry her because she's a mamzer. Right? So therefore that whole clause doesn't make sense. By a kohen's clause, the clause says in the Mishnah, I'll redeem you. And you'll go back to live with your family. That applies to Amon and the Kohen Gadol also. So even though he wasn't allowed to marry her, but the clause of the Mishnah Ksuba, the Ksuba that the Mishnah says, I'll redeem you, and you'll go live with your family, wherever it's a city. That could apply to a Kohen Gadol too, because that's what the Kohenim write in the Ksuba. But a regular Yid writes, a non-Kohen writes, I'll redeem you and bring you back to me as a wife. Because the second half of the clause can't be. He can't take her as a wife, she's a mamzer. So therefore the first half of the clause doesn't make sense. And therefore he doesn't have to redeem her. In other words, whether the ksuba says it or not, but the bottom line is, the ksuba says, I will redeem you and marry you. If he can't marry her, he doesn't have to redeem her. By a kohen ksuba, it says, I will redeem you and you'll go back to live wherever you live. That could be even a mother kohen gadol. Okay? So according to Abaye, it's very interesting. According to Abaye, it doesn't matter if you're allowed to marry her or not. Because a mother can't marry a kohen gadol either. The difference is the text of the ksuba makes sense or not. So because by your kohen, including kohen gadol, the text says, I will redeem you, and you'll go live back in the city, that can apply on Amon or kohen gadol. But it can't apply by a regular Jew with a mamzer, because in the ksuba it says, I will redeem you and marry you. You can't marry her, she's a mamzer. Rav Amar, Rav says no. Meaning like this. Anytime a kohen is allowed to marry the woman, the problem is now because she was captured, like by a kohen, chayiv levdesa, then you have to redeem her. Is it David achad gelam lo? If something else caused them that they're not allowed to get married, like a mono with a kohen gadol, ain't a chayiv levdesa, you don't have to redeem them. So Rava says much differently than Abaye. Rava says, if you're not allowed to marry her to begin with, so even though it's a valid ksuba, a valid marriage and everything, you need a get, not valid, you need a get, you don't have to redeem her. Abaye says, no. As long as the text of the ksuba can make sense, I'll redeem you and you'll go back home to live wherever, so then he has to redeem her. Even though it's an Amon el kohen gadol who he was not allowed to marry. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi, maybe this is this argument between Abai and Rava is an argument of earlier Tanoim and Braisa. What does it say? In the Braisa it says like this. Hamadir Esishti. A guy makes a vow that he will not benefit from his, she will not benefit from him. Okay? He makes a vow, pronounces a vow on his wife, that what? She should not receive Yeah, the carpet needs to be washed anyway.
Yeah, well, you know. Go ahead.
A guy makes a vow, his wife cannot benefit from him. Okay?
Since you're moving anyway.
Huh?
Since you're moving anyway, one of these days.
Now, Benishbas, then she got captive. Listen to this crazy case. A guy says to his wife, I make a vow, you will not benefit from me. Then she gets captured. Can he redeem her or not?
Well, yeah, for her.
Rabbi Elazar, amen. Paida, the nice and luxuba. He has to redeem her and give her the ksuba. What does that mean? Even though he cannot retake her as a wife, because the guy makes a vow that his wife will not benefit from him, he has to divorce her. That's the law, he has to divorce her.
What vow did he make?
That she will not benefit from him.
After they got married.
What may not benefit from him? What does that mean?
No. He will not support her. She cannot get any benefit.
When they're married?
Yeah.
That was in the ketubah?
No.
It was after the...
They got married. Right. One day they're sitting at dinner, and the guy says, you know what? I make a vow, you will not benefit anything from me for the rest of your life. So the Mishnah says later, what does the husband have to do? He has to divorce her. He can't stay married to her because he made a vow. Okay? Now, he makes a vow that the wife will not have any benefit from him. Then she gets captured. So the question is, so the Rabbi Lazar says, Peida, you redeem her, ben leisen lo ksubas, and you give her the ksuba. Okay? Meaning, even though he has to divorce her, he still has to redeem her. We'll soon see why. Rabbi Yeshua Ahmed, neisen lo ksubasa, ve'ena peida. Give her the ksuba, you don't have to redeem her. Why? Redeeming is benefiting. The first opinion says you have to redeem her because the obligation of redeeming was first. When you got married, he has an obligation to redeem her. Right? You can't take away a vow that you were obligated to do before. Right? That's what Rabbi Elazar says. When was the obligation to redeem her? Because soon you married her, you have an obligation to redeem her. You make a vow later that can't undo obligation that you have from before. It can undo new obligations. That's why you have to divorce it. But Rabbi Yeshua says, Neisen Aksuba Eina Peida. So now the Gemara says, Amir Abnasin, Sha'alti Yasumchis, I asked Sumchis like this. Sumchis is one of the Tanoim. Sha'amir Rabbi Yeshua, Neisen Aksuba Eina Peida. What Rabbi Yeshua said, give it a ksuba, but you don't have to redeem her. Is it Kshadira ulabseif nishbas? Is it only in a case where he made the vow and then she was captured? Or benishbas ulabseif adira? Or maybe she was captured first and then he made the vow? Because the question is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you give her a ksuba, but you don't have to redeem her. So he says, when is that case? Is it only when he made the vow and then she was captured, then you have to give her ksuba? Or even if she was captured and then you made the vow? So he says, Lay amalei, Sumcha said to me, Lay shamaiti. I don't know, I didn't hear. But, Nirin Dvarim, it's logical, it's speaking Shehadira, he made the vow, Ulebseif Nishbas, and then she was captured. Why? The Amit Nishbas Ulebseif Hadira. Because if you're going to say she was captured first, and then he made the vow, also laudume, the husband can make a can lie. Meaning like this: if Rabbi Yeshua's din is that if she's captured, and then he makes the vow, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, right? That's very dangerous. You know why? Anytime a woman's captured, and the husband doesn't want to pay the ransom,
he'll say,
I made a vow. No, he'll make the vow now. He'll say, make the vow, you'll not benefit from me. So then, if that's the case that Rabbi Yeshua says, that if Yeshua says, ain't a paida, he doesn't have to redeem her, so every time that's gonna happen. Okay? So the Gemara says, what's the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Elazar says, if you madid, you make a vow and then she's captured, you redeem her and give her the ksuba. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. If you did it and then she was captured, you made the vow, and then she was captured, you don't redeem her. Okay? Now, so Gemara said, what case are we talking about over here? My love, it must be speaking Be'esh Kohen Kamefligi. It's speaking the wife of a Kohen. That his wife won't get benefit from him.
What's that?
Whoa. Take it outside, whoa. Massive bug.
Came to learn too.
Bug off. So it's Mustama speaking a case, okay?
What was that kind of
bug? Your Gemara.
Now, listen, this needs a little bit, not, it's not hard, it just needs a little concentration. The analyzing case, a guy made a vow, and then she was captured. Okay?
Yeah.
So obviously, it must be speaking by a case of a Kohen. Why? Because in a non-Kohen's ksuba, it says, I will ransom you, and bring you back home to be my wife. Right? Mm-hmm. If the guy made a vow, she was captured. I'm sorry, he made the vow. And then she was captured. He can't bring her back as a wife, because he made a vow not to be with her. There's no benefit from him. Right? So obviously that case wouldn't exist, because then you wouldn't have to redeem her, because like we said before, if you can't marry her, a Yisrael, with a mamzer and all that, because you can't bring her back as a wife, so then that whole clause of the ksuba doesn't make sense. Abaye said before, in the Gemara, that if a guy is married to a mamzeres, and then she gets captured, right, you don't have to redeem her. Why don't you have to redeem her? Because in your clause of the ksuba it said, when I redeem you, I'll take you back as a wife. But you can't marry a mamzer. Now, the same thing in this case. A guy makes a vow, she will not benefit from him. Then she gets captured. Now, what does it say in a non-Kohen ksuba? I will redeem you and bring you back as a wife. That means if I can't bring you back as a wife because I made a vow, then I don't have to redeem you. Because that's the condition. I will redeem you and remarry you. But if he cannot remarry her, then he doesn't have to redeem her. So obviously there can't be such a case of argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. So Elamai was speaking about the wife of a Kohen. Now, the wife of a Kohen, it says in the Ksuba, when a Kohen writes a Ksuba, not nowadays, but used to be, that if you get captured, I will redeem you, and you'll go home. You know, I can't marry you, you'll go home. Yeah. So he says like this. So my love is speaking probably Eishes Kohen. Yet Rabbi Eliezer says, you redeem her and give her the ksuba. So that means Abaya holds, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you redeem her and give her the ksuba. V'Rava Amar, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi says like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua said, you don't have to redeem her. Why? Because you weren't allowed to marry her. Madreishes Kohen. So therefore, that's mamish like a rovet, so like Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, no. Hachamayaskinen, it's speaking like this. So this is another crazy case coming up. Until now we said, what was the vow? The vow says, she cannot benefit from me. Yeah, she cannot benefit from me. Therefore, he can't stay married to her. Right? Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua said, because she can't stay married, you don't have to redeem her. Because you can only redeem her if he brings her back as a wife. Okay. The case is, the woman made the vow, not the man. Mm-hmm. The woman made the vow, okay, that, and the husband confirmed it. The wife says, I will not benefit from you. The first case we learned until now, the husband made a vow, you will not benefit from me. Yeah? Now she was the one that made the vow. She said, I will not benefit from you. And the husband confirmed the vow. Because in Parshas Matis, the Torah says, if a wife makes the vow, the day the husband heard it, he can nullify it. If he doesn't nullify it, he confirms it. Okay? So the case was like this. She made the vow. Not the husband. But the husband confirmed it. That means she cannot benefit from him because the husband confirmed it. So therefore the din is like this. Rabbi Eliezer saw that. Rabbi Eliezer says, what does Rabbi Eliezer says? He has to redeem her and give her the ksuba. Why? Who nights in Ezba Benchinel? He puts her finger between her teeth to be bitten. Meaning, who made this vow happen? The husband did. Because he confirmed it. He could have nullified the vow. He didn't nullify the vow. The husband made the vow go, kept the vow. So because he did it, the din is he has to redeem her and give it a ksuba. But he has to redeem her. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, no. He didn't make the vow. She made the vow. So who did it? She did it. If she did it, then she doesn't have to redeem. She loses her right to be redeemed. In other words, like this. Rabbi Lazar says, the girl needs to be redeemed. Yep, because he made a vow. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. She doesn't have to be redeemed. Yeah? So you might as explain the argument different. What's the argument? The case of the Braisa, the second Braisa, the argument between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua is a very different case. She makes a vow. The woman makes a vow. I will not benefit from you. Now technically the husband could have nullified the whole thing. He didn't. He confirmed it. So Rabbi Lazar says, because he made the vow, it's his fault, he has to redeem her. He has to redeem her, even though he made a vow not to, because he confirmed it. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, she doesn't get redeemed. Who made the vow? She made the vow. She made the vow, she's basically saying, don't redeem me. Because she can't benefit from me. She made the vow. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, she made the vow, but he confirmed the vow. He made the vow a vow. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't do that. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. If that's the case, if he, according to Rabbi Yeshua, she messed it up by making the vow, then why should she get a ksuba? Rabbi Yeshua says, she gets the ksuba, but he doesn't have to redeem her. The din is, when a woman does something that makes her husband divorce her, she doesn't get a ksuba. She behaves improperly. And because of that, the husband divorces her, she doesn't get the ksuba. Because she caused not to get the ksuba by her behavior. The fact that she made the vow, not to benefit from him, she was the one that caused the get. She caused him to divorce, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So then why should he have to give her a ksuba? So you can't say that's what the Braisa means. The su, in addition to that, Amr Ibn Nasr said, Sha'alti yasumchis, ayas sumchis. Sha'amr Rabbi Yeshua, neisun aksubasavayna peida. When Rabbi Yeshua said he give it a ksuba, doesn't redeem her, is it speaking, we just learned, when she made the vow and then she was captured, or even if she was captured and then made the vow? And he answered, like Shemaita didn't hear. So the question is, if she made the vow, what's the difference if the vow was first or the captivity was first? She caused it. What's the difference? Mali nishpasulasefadi, why is it, what's the difference? If she made the vow, she messes herself up. If she messes herself up, so what difference does it make? So therefore the Gemara says, no. Elo la'elam is speaking like this. The husband made the vow. Yes, and the question is, then seemingly the argument between Abaye and Rava would be the argument of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, no. Abaye will answer and Rava will answer. Okay, so he says like this. Abaye metaris satamei. Abaye will answer. He says like this. Almana le kohen gadol. If an almana married a kohen gadol, he says like this. Kula ama le pligi. The way Abaye says. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Both of them would agree that he has to redeem her. Like Abaye said, by the way. Mamzeres unasina li Yisrael, everybody would agree, like I say, Abaye. Mamzeres and unasina to Yid, kula ama li pligi de ena chayav l'b'deis. He doesn't have to redeem her. Because what does it say in the Ksuba? I'll remarry you. I'll redeem you and remarry you. Because he can't remarry her, he doesn't have to redeem her. So he says like this. Madir Eishes Koyen Nami. It's the same thing. If it's the wife of a Koyen, the guy made a vow he's not going to marry her. Kula Amalei Pligi Dechayev Lebdeisa. Because that's the case. Amonel Koyen Gadol. That's the same case. Amonel Koyen Gadol. Like Abaye said, everybody holds that he has to redeem her. Ki Pligi, when do they argue? But Madir Eishes Yisrael, by a wife of a Yisrael. Now, the non-Kohen makes a vow that his wife will not benefit from him. So therefore, he can't take her back as a wife. So therefore, if he can't take her back as a wife, that's the argument. Do you have to redeem her or not? That would be the argument. But Madir Eishes Yisrael, by a Rabbi Lozzi goes to the initial stage, meaning, yeah, when he wrote in the Ksuba that if they ransom her and they'll take her back, that was written before he forbid her. Like we said before, therefore that obligation stays. Rabbi Yeshua goes by the end. She was captured. Bottom line is, now he cannot remarry her. If that's the case, then you don't have to redeem her. So that's the machlokes, the way Abaye learns. So let's just finish this piece of Gemara. Rava metaris the tamei. Rava will answer according to his reasoning. And says like this. Almanu l'kayin galu. Mamzeres unasin li Yisrael. Kulam alei pligadein achayim l'b'desa. Because Rava said, anytime there's a forbidden marriage, you can't redeem her. Because he can't stay married to her. The Chatchil wasn't allowed to marry him. Keep pligi, when do they argue? B'madir, when the guy makes a vow not to benefit, bein beishes kain bein, whether it's a wife of a kain or Yisroel. Rabbi Lazar goes by the mi'ikara. Rabbi Lazar says, when he made the vow, when he wrote the ksuba, he didn't make the vow yet. And therefore, that says you have to redeem her. Yeshua says, no, you go by the end. Meaning, at the end, when he made a vow not to marry her, she cannot marry him. So therefore, you don't have to redeem her. Okay, therefore, we'll leave it here. Next Tuesday night, obviously, is Shavuos.